Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as their children. Be ye therefore what? Chapter 4 and verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's a powerful scripture, you know. He says, God, for Christ's sake. You know, we say for Christ's sake a lot today and we don't know the meaning. For Christ's sake, leave me alone. For Christ's sake, let me go. But it's used here to explain the grace of God, that God forgave you because of Jesus. I am forgiven. You don't believe it? I am forgiven. See, God forgave you because of Christ Jesus. That's what it is. So that means forgiveness does not come because I asked for it. That's a powerful statement from Paul there. It doesn't come because I changed my ways. Forgiveness is a product of Christ's grace. Let us hear. A product of God's grace through Jesus. Can you say, I am forgiven? Say boldly, I'm forgiven. Just a few people are saying it. Say louder.
I am forgiven.
Say loud, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
He says, for Christ's sake. He didn't say, notice that. He didn't say, for Christ's sake. You know, some folks say, well, I don't know whether God will, I don't know whether God can, what I've done, I don't know. But Paul said, look, he says, God, for Christ's sake. Verse 32, chapter 4. Hath forgiven you. Now, look at the next scripture now says, be ye therefore followers of God as their children. Walk in love. Walk in love, as Christ also had loved us, and had given himself for us as an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So God's love is not seen from the perspective of an everyday experience. God's love is seen in what he did through Jesus. If I want to know how powerful the love of God is towards me, I look at what he did through Jesus. And I believe that's very powerful. You know that's very powerful. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have eternal life, everlasting life. Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall not he with him freely give us of all things? Romans 8:32. So powerful. Now, having seen that, it explains the forgiveness of God in the past. In other words, forgiveness is not what gives you every day. Forgiveness is what God has given to you in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, says, giving thanks to the Father who has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of his own son, into his dear son. In him we have forgiveness, redemption, even the forgiveness of sins through his blood. Look at that. He said we already have forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. You know, human beings will forgive you when you do something. God forgives before you do it. Isn't that powerful? Human beings forgive you when you do it. God forgives you before you do it. In fact, when human beings forgive you at times, you're not even sure of what they are saying at times. Okay, I've forgiven you. Okay, I've forgiven you. They say that. But God's word is God's bond. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness is by grace. What did I say? What did I say? If you believe it, say it loud. So if forgiveness is by grace, that means no action can bring about forgiveness and no action can stop forgiveness, because forgiveness is by grace. Interestingly, that's not my subject this morning, but like I said, I'm just a little bit in my spirit. I'm just trying to lay my hands on where we're going, because I know exactly where we're going. It's by grace. That is why every one of God's children have God's righteousness. Righteousness does not come to you because of what you do. Righteousness comes to you because of what he did. It doesn't come to you because of what you do. Today, you find people preach from the pulpit that if so-and-so does something, he will go to hell. He will not go to heaven. And you will never find such statements in the word. You won't find it in the word. You will never find it in the word, because righteousness does not come on the basis of works. Righteousness comes through Jesus. I'm going to open a couple of scriptures for us here now. Come on, look at Romans. Romans, the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. Romans chapter 3. Are you there? I'm going to read verse 23 for us. And I know that's a very popular scripture for a lot of our evangelists. Very popular scripture. Sometimes evangelists say things and they try to get away with it. I remember years back I preached a sermon like that. The butt of your life. B-U-T now. The butt of your life. And I said, Naaman was a captain of the host of Syria. But you begin to see all the butts in scripture. Everybody begins to wonder, these are powerful buts of my life. It says, but there's a but in the scriptures that many people have not addressed their minds to. That but is the Lord Jesus. He is a but to God's anger. He is a but to God's judgment. He is a but to God's punishment and God's penalty for sin and for the sinner. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it says, being, verse 24, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So justification is by grace. Nobody merits it. Justification is by the grace of God. You know, many times when you ask Christians, they use grace for the wrong things. You say, well, today, I guess we'll see on Tuesday. Say, by his grace, oh. You know why they say that? Because they don't want to boast that you see them on Tuesday and then something will happen to them. You can see them. So say, by his grace, oh, don't let me boast, oh. Don't let me boast. It's not me. I can choose to, I choose to want to go and then God says no or something says no. Whatever says no. But I'm not there. So by his grace. But then, if you could apply that same thinking to righteousness, because it's by his grace. That is, it's not by anybody's boasting or anybody's works that he is declared righteous before God. Righteousness is by grace. Romans 3 again. Look at verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he, God, might be just, and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. So who is the justifier? Who is the justifier? God is the justifier. And has God justified you? Has God justified you? Because you, cool down. Because you, thank you, nothing. No, sir. I remember that day when they gave the altar call. I cried. I looked at my life. I looked at bad, lived it. And then I could see that God was telling me, come home, son. So I began to come. They said, yes, I can see your heart is right. Then I grant you righteousness. Is that why you're righteous? Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Says, God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if someone can give his son to you when you were a sinner, that is, when you were rebellious towards him, how much more now that you have received the gospel? How much more now that you have received the gospel of his son? Now, look at this. Romans again, chapter 5, verse 1. Now I want us to read this one together, everybody. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Verse 1, what's it go? Where did we get peace from? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I lost my peace. Did you get it before? As I was saying that, I just lost my peace. How did you lose your peace? You cannot lose your peace. The peace was given to you by Jesus. It's a gift, a free gift. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He had made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can we read that together once ago? Okay, let's take it. Once ago. Who knew no sin? Now, people find it easy to understand that Jesus that did not know sin was made sin. But they find it difficult to understand, to not apply the same thing to he that is a sinner, now made righteous. Jesus did nothing wrong. He was made sin. Now, if you understand that, then you shouldn't have a problem with someone doing something wrong and he's made righteous. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. If someone did nothing wrong, Jesus, and he was made righteous, was made sin for us. Now, how then is it difficult to understand that someone that does something wrong is now made righteous for him? Since he was made sin for us, we are made righteous for him and by him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You don't believe that? Say it again. I am the righteousness of God. Do you know today, some of you say, I'm the righteousness of God. If you were somewhere there and they say, oh God, touch your head. Say my head! Don't break! Receive new blood! Have you been to when I was in the law school, there was this prayer conference they hold every time people want to write exams.
There is a special prayer meeting to pass exams. Everybody will gather. And that day, I was on my way out and I saw people rest Barnabases. Even Barnabas. I saw one lady, I used to share scriptures and I respected her and she was going there. She was going there and they had said that those who would go for that particular meeting, because the guy that was going to preach was from the other side of the church. So you had to have something on your head. And this lady, she put something on her head and said, hey, she was going for the prayer meeting. And the guy now said, everybody, bow down here now and begin to confess your sins. You know, they brought the scapegoat there or something. So, confess your sins now! He was the high priest. And everybody said, yes, Lord. All these things. And the lady, everyone was shouting, yay! Oh, God! Oh, God! Now, if you had brought some people here now, and you say, I am the righteousness of God, I am the righteousness. They are afraid of God. They are afraid that God could lie. Maybe it doesn't mean what he says. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now that day I did not attend that meeting. Some folks felt I was so arrogant. Really, I don't care. I was walking away and the whole place was jam-packed, fuller than the next normal lecture. Because the guy was supposed to have made a second class upper, so he was supposed to lay hands on people to receive. And I walked away. Because to do the word would mean to go and read. Amen. You want to pass your exam, you do the word. You want to do the word, you read your books. Then pray when you have read. Amen. Exam prayer day. Done it before? Write your prayer request. Hallelujah. I was in one service one day, and then this pastor had this member come to him, and he said, sir, there was a prayer request I wrote. You said you write a prayer point for our exams. So I want to change it. Guess how why? Can't score 5 in that course. So that God will not get angry. Let's start asking of just an ordinary one. The way it is, I have to move from failure to just pass. Let my people go. I couldn't see anything. Because the pastor asked us to pray together. So I prayed. In the name of Jesus. Whether it was now received, I don't know. I try to pray in tongues too. To communicate my dilemma to God in the spirit. So that he can understand. I don't make oblations to him. I do things of faith. Amen. Alright. So, righteousness is a gift. Romans 5:17. The Bible says we have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. Amen. So if anyone has received Jesus, he has received righteousness. Say, I have received righteousness. So when you walk out of this meeting today, this service, pound your chest and say, I'm righteous. I'm a righteous man. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That term is too strong to ignore. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The explanation of all things. The revelation in Christ Jesus. No, so when you talk to people, some religious people say, oh, what do you mean? You, John, righteous. You, John, righteous. Say, in Christ Jesus. No, maybe not in your church. Maybe not in your doctrine. Maybe not in your credos. But I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's in the word. Hallelujah. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Alright, come on. Now, having said all that, these are simple facts of righteousness. Interestingly, they are revelation to so many people. One service like that, I taught this. And the pastor came the next day and he said, that guy is an heretic. For what? He said, the things he's saying, they are for mature Christians. That's what he said. He said they're for mature Christians. See, because if you don't understand this rhema, the rhema, the depth of the rhema that he's saying, you don't go believe in any hour, you don't go to hell. I said, how? I agree they're for mature Christians. But how long do you want to take milk? You got it. Someone 6 years old with a feeding bottle. That's still good. Feeding bottle still means you have the sense to hold it. Sucking breast is worse. What? That's it. One day, now one day, sit down and go die, you know, if you come back. So, why is that a praise worship song? Imagine Jesus shouting in heaven, one day, now one day, sit down. Jesus said, hey, one day, now one day. Jesus is excited. Sit down and go die, you know, if you come back. You know, if you come back to this world, hey. And the Holy Ghost said, yes, one day, now one day. God is saying, Cinnamon go die, you know, go to come back. Everybody's excited that Cinnamon will die, I will come back. I'm what the world says I am.
I'm what the world says I am.
But you know what? That pastor now has to believe because we're on air. Praise God. The light of God's word is growing too fast for darkness to understand. People are being liberated. I get mails from people that say, thank you, that was the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Now, there is a trap we can fall into. I've understood these things. When things don't turn the way we plan them to turn. I remember years back when I got saved. I got saved on a Sunday. So it's too failure proof. It was a Sunday, the Lord's Day, Sabbath. When I got saved, and I remember that day I was going back to my hostel. I love football a lot, so I saw folks playing football. I said, they don't know what they are missing. And I was working sanctimoniously, approaching my room. And I just felt like, oh my God. This life I'm into now, mistake-free, fault-free. Because he told us in the counseling that there's a power in you now. And he told us this, and it's true. There's a power in us now that we will not sin anymore, we will not make mistakes anymore. He told us those things. So I was going like that, mistake-free. A couple of minutes after my salvation, a guy took, you know, sir, you could get so crazy about your provision. And the guy took my milk. What? He didn't just take it. He had punched it. He didn't just punch it. He was pouring it. He didn't just pour it. He was drinking it. He didn't just drink it. It was entering. Hi. I said, oh! And I called him names. You fool idiot! Oh God, you have spoiled my salvation. You see? Oh, you this agent of Satan. You know something? The guy is still my friend today. I still see him like that. You can have some strong things on your mind, you know? And I said, Satan has sent him again. The first time he spoiled my salvation. Over 20 years ago, I still have it in my mind. Maybe till heaven, I don't know. And I felt, oh God. And just like that, in our walk with God, we tend to slip into works after receiving all things that God has given to us by grace. And like I said, I don't know what to call this, but when we go on, you'll see where we're going to. We can slip into works easily and then we feel well. Yes, it's true, salvation is like that, but look at my life. And we have a whole number of us that have seen failures, mistakes, errors, sin as an end.
we understand these things quite alright, but we now begin to see. And see, many of our preachers, and I've done it before too, don't help matters. You begin to see things differently from how you received the Lord Jesus. Now, hold on, you see what I'm saying now. And I sense that there are people here who have given up on so many things that God has planned for them. Because we have moved from grace to works. Oh Lord, help me this morning. And you have this idea of a wonderful Christian life, a glorious Christian life ahead of you, which is true. But because you were not taught God's word, what's on your mind is different. Or you start out in the work of the ministry, and then you have this idea that, my God, maybe after one World Changers conference or one service somewhere, you just feel, my God, the world is before me. Or it's in your business. You prayed to God and He gave you a business. He gave you a new job. And then, now, don't forget, what I'm saying is here is this. You now make a mistake, an error. You fall into sin. You do something wrong. Maybe you went into disobedience. Maybe you did something wrong. And there's so many people under the sound of my voice that I'm talking to. The temptation for many of us really is to give up on our pursuits, on what we're doing. Because we feel we have failed God. We feel we have disappointed God. We feel, oh my God. And many times as we're going to see, people around us don't help. We feel, wow. What on earth is this? We have sent forgivenesses from God. We have seen that forgiveness is by grace. We have seen that He imparts righteousness to everyone. But do you live it in your life? We begin to see those that God uses and those that God will bless from the perspective of somebody who lives a fault-free life, who doesn't make mistakes, who doesn't do wrong things. So when we do wrong things, immediately we disqualify ourselves from the blessings of God. We begin to see, maybe, really, is the end for me. And I've seen people here give up on different pursuits in life because of that kind of thinking. Now I'm going to take you through scriptures. And we're going to look at people in the world that God related with, God blessed, and God called. And we're going to look at how God deals with people generally. Because many times, like I said, we slip from that grace perspective of God's dealings with us. And then begin to think, oh, I messed up here. I did this wrong here. That's why I'm here today. I know there are people who have served God mightily in their secondary schools, in their universities. Along the line, something goes wrong. Something happens. I know people who have started well and God blessed, mightily blessed of God. And along the line, they make an error of judgment in their business, in their plans. Sometimes even they even go out of God's will for their lives. There are people like that. When a marriage is and something goes wrong, something they never expected, even with a fellow Christian brother or a fellow Christian sister. And many times I've seen people touch issues like this and they touch it again from the wrong perspective. I want to talk about people in the world. People that are in the world. Peter. Peter is the first man I want to talk about today. Peter was a man that Jesus came to all by himself. And Jesus said to him, I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me. Now, Jesus called him. He said, I will make you a fisher of men. And then this same Peter, Jesus gave authority to cast out unclean spirits, to heal the sick, Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Luke chapter 10, and verse 1, Matthew chapter 10, and verse 1. Jesus gave power to cast out unclean spirits, and Peter was used of God. Matthew 16, and verse 17, Peter spoke by the Spirit of God, and he said to Jesus, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father that is in heaven. Peter was called one of those that was the closest to the Lord Jesus. Peter. One day, that same fellow, that same Peter, that same person, that same apostle, that same man used of God, that same one that has seen God bless, that has seen Jesus cure the sick, he has seen Jesus do mighty works, he was in the boat when Jesus calmed the storm. The same Peter was in the boat when Jesus calmed the storm. He was there when they fed 5,000 women and their children, a man and their children and their husbands, if inclusive. He was there when Jesus called for the coin from the belly of a fish. He was there. He was in Mark 11 when Jesus cursed the fig tree and he died from his roots in verse 17. He exclaimed, "Oh God, oh Jesus, what it costs, the tree you cost has dried up from the roots," in verse 21. He was the same man. The same man. Jesus warned Peter, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. And my. The same Peter went ahead and denied Jesus and he cursed. The Bible says he vehemently said he didn't know Jesus. He fought over it. I don't know him. He didn't do it privately, because if he did it privately, you wouldn't have the account today. He did it publicly. Now, many folks have read that wrongly when they read things wrongly when Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Well, I thought Peter denied him before men. Peter said, I don't know him. I've never met him before. I just came into Jerusalem. I was away in Nigeria. I went for shopping in Dubai. I don't know anybody you're talking about. And these girls say, you! Did you cast anything for me? Me? Peter, What about Abraham? Genesis chapter 12, God came to Abraham and he said to him, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. And God was revealing himself consistently to Abraham. Consistently to Abraham. Continually to Abraham. The angels of God ministered to him regularly. Abraham. One day, God said he won't do anything except he tells Abraham. God said that. That I won't do anything except I talk to Abraham. That's Abraham. But the same fellow. That same Abraham. The same Abraham that we all know as a man of faith. One day, that same Abraham doubted God. Not once. Not for a minute. Not for 2 minutes. For a space of time, for years. He doubted God. He cast aside what God told him. And don't forget, what God told him, he wasn't preached to. So he wasn't looking at, nobody discouraged him. You know, some people say, well, I don't know. I don't believe that to me. He say, why? I don't like that pastor. Say, I don't like that pastor. That pastor is too hard. That pastor is too this. You know, you can say that and they get away with it. But this time around, there was no pastor that preached to Abraham. God himself preached the gospel to Abraham. Abraham doubted it. He walked away from it. And he went into his maid, Hagar. And he got a son out of that. Called Ishmael. Prior to that period, he had told God, look, I go childless. Let me have Eliezer as my son. The same fellow. Abraham. My. What about Job? A man God said was perfect. What there is innocent. Job was a man who was called innocent. His wife, you know, spoke to him and said she should curse God and he didn't do it. Called her a foolish woman. Job. An honest man. One day, God had to rebuke Job. For walking in sin. God rebuked Job. For getting his thoughts wrong, for believing the wrong things, for doing the wrong things. God rebuked Job that God had called innocent. God himself called him innocent. What about Moses? Moses, God said there was no man on the face of the earth, that was as meek as Moses. What does meek mean? What does it mean? What does it mean to be meek? I didn't say milk, I said meek. Huh? To be humble. Meek. Humble man. Humble man. That's what he was. Because one day God told him, look, I won't destroy the whole Israel, so I'll make a nation out of you. He said, no, Lord. If you do it, the Egyptians will laugh at us. Because this man is meek. One day, the same man, meek man, in all the earth. You know when they say, you are the meekest in your church, that's local champion. Now if God says you are the meekest in the earth, that's not a champion. That's a winner. You are the main man. One day, God said to the humble man, he said, look, you speak to the rock and bring out water for my people. Moses, angry, the humble man, angry, said to the people, do I have to stick with you guys? The same fellow that told God, no, you got to stick with them. Do I have to stick with you people? These stiff-necked people, they have to give you water all the time? He was bringing the glory to himself. And he took his rod and then struck the rock. And the water came out. And God said to him, you disobeyed. You are proud, Moses. Same Moses. What about David? The man of David. David was a man in 1 Samuel chapter 16 that was confused. He had picked Eliab, and God said, no, it's David. And he was anointed as a king. He went severally to Saul. Saul wanted to kill him several times. And he went away. He said, I will not touch the anointed of the Lord. What a humble man. He said, I won't do it. He said, he'll never do it. David. This was the same person who took down Goliath. I mean, Goliath was, he scared the whole nation of Israel. The whole nation of Israel, you see, if you heard about Goliath, there was a time in Nigeria like that, everybody said, do you know Anini? Hey, don't say it to Satan. The weird thing, Anini was somebody that would just appear and disappear until he was caught. I got good news. Last week I read a commentary of the prison chaplain and said Anini received Jesus the day before he was shot. And he got saved. Praise God. Salvation is that simple. The word is nigh thee. In your heart and in your mouth. In your mouth, sorry, and in your heart. The word of faith that we, if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Salvation is that thief at the hand of Jesus. Who just, I mean, the last minute he just said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus, today you will be with me. Thank God for grace. Hallelujah. Now, Goliath terrified the whole Israel. Moses. Israel said he was 17. Today, 17-year-old boys. Not because they didn't have money, but because school did not have enough money to keep in them. You understand? 17. And they said, this giant, and he took him down. Mighty man of war. Saul went after him, so everybody didn't get him. When Saul died in 2 Samuel, he said, tell it not in God. Say, don't ask, Kelowna, how had mighty falling? That means don't celebrate the downfall of an anointed man. Today, some people have turned their churches to city people. And a commune. They just give you gist about men of God. Some people open internet for it. Soft sell Christians. They like gists, you know. Say, say it not in God. Say it not in Ascalon. How are the mighty fallen? Don't say it anywhere. One day we'll teach about that. Now. Mighty man of God, anointed of the Spirit, saw a woman. I don't know, I've never seen the picture of Bathsheba. I don't think she would have won Miss World. Sorry if I'm getting very carnal at this, but sometimes you wonder when they say this lady was the reason for the downfall of this man, you now see the lady. What? How she was anointed to do it too. So we are slow of heart. Let me leave that. You know, David, the king in the scriptures, who was a king of kings in the Bible, looked out and saw a woman. Jesus, why what I see? Ghost! He opens again. And said, close! He didn't care to open it. He didn't just say, I want to be with her. He planned, not for 1 hour, for days, to kill her husband. And married her. Wow. Didn't just marry her. He went into her, and she had a kid. A baby. My. What about Solomon? Solomon was in a prayer meeting with God. And God said, what do you want? I know some of our people. Say, God, ask you what you want. Sir, can you give me 3 days? Let me compose it. One sentence, he has involved three continents. It was three continents. One sentence. I want Africa, Europe, Asia. Full stop. See, you know, I'm not asking for much. It's just one sentence. One sentence. Say, I want Obama to prostrate for me.
Yes.
David said, no. I mean, Moses Solomon said, give me wisdom. And I said, wow. Ah! This guy is so simple. There, that's one desire. There's a man I want. Lord, give it. Give me him.
Consider.
This whole world said, don't bother, Lord. When I get this man, I get the whole world.
He just said, give me wisdom to judge your people.
And God said, others will have asked for the life of their enemies. So much wisdom. He was so, and as he was speaking, professors would sit down and take notes. He was speaking. The Queen of Sheba came out of the way from Africa, they said. I'm not sure. He came in there and took down notes. The Bible said he spoke about trees. He spoke about everything. If you read the book of Proverbs, you wonder, how old was this guy? Was he 120? No, he wasn't. He was so wise. So wise. Then like I said, because your instructions have my understanding, I have more wisdom than my teachers. Solomon now became one who worshipped idols. Wow. You know, we have this song, I will never worship my maker. All other gods, they are the works of men. If you believe it, then why are you afraid of Shango? If they are the works of men. They are simply works of men. Because there are no gods anywhere. It's just the devil, you know, disguising as different characters in different movies. He worshipped idols. I know some of you are saying, he carried women. He had many women. That wasn't the point with God. Go read it. He began to worship idols.
And he was worshiping.
Oboni.
Ha! You!
Yes.
Solomon!
Anointed of God.
Who had the wisdom of God.
Let me see if you are following me this morning. Are you sure? Are you with me? Good. Then the notorious one, Samson.
This was a guy that killed a lion. A lion! With a jawbone of an ass! He could take on thousands.
I think it was him that they brought 1,000 false kings of human beings.
You know what it takes to peel off the skin?
1,000. Take it. What is it?
Thousands of people were coming down.
See? When people are talking, they say, Samson's coming. Everybody goes, so what's the problem? Nothing, sir. Nothing. We are just praising you.
Because you know that you can just look at it and say, come.
They are in hell or heaven.
He was too powerful. Some of his men said,
Some folks went for practice. They went to build their muscles. It was a government colleague that when you have big biceps and triceps, you call it muscle. When you're trying to build it, it's muscle. So, the boarding house was a crazy life, you know. We had different definitions for everything.
He didn't just have muscles. He had muscles.
So, who
beat you? Say something.
That is him. Your other brother is going.
This one!
Hell is going. Something just waits. Just in head boots.
Boom!
911.
Everything was easy.
But then somebody strode past his house. A woman.
He doesn't have to beat a woman. He will just breathe.
And she disappear.
A woman. Again, I want to see a picture,
a cocker or something. You know,
he was He was just destroyed by a woman. Ah!
Sometimes you begin, when I read the Bible, I say, well, why does God choose this kind of people? Ah! Can't you find who? You? Oh, everybody's all messing up along the line. Ah! Can't you catch up? Can't there be somebody in your Bible? Ah! You get, who is the man? That's why he gave Jesus. Hallelujah. If anyone had been like that, he would have qualified to be our Savior. And he would need no salvation. But thank God, man is in Jesus. And these men are through the scriptures. And I want to say something, you know, as we go on. When you begin to read the New Testament that we call the epistles here, but there is not one single mention of their failures. Not one single mention of their failures. If you read Romans 4, you think Abraham was a G. If you read Hebrews 11, you think Samson just had this life because he was mentioned as the heroes of the faith. You would think he was just one. If you had read, you don't know. Job. All of these people at one point in time in their lives fell off God's will, walked out of God's will. Some walked in the disobedience. Some made the wrong decisions. Some indiscreetly moved with the wrong crowd. Some got involved with the wrong practices. And many times you will see human beings judge them. And that's the point. Because some it just gets so bad that people know about it. They used to see you as this wonderful millionaire in church that used to give towards church projects, and they've discovered that you've sold your car. Used to be that shining example, but something went wrong and everybody knows about it. When you were on campus, you were a mighty man of God, everybody knew about it, but something went wrong and you are not where you used to be found. Just like Abraham, just like Job, just like David, just like Solomon, just like Moses, just like Peter. Came a time Peter walked away. He didn't just deny Jesus. He went back to where Jesus picked him from. Jesus met him fishing. Peter went back fishing. Let me see your hand if you're following me this morning. I think I'm talking to somebody, something to you. And he went back to the exact spot Jesus picked him from. And when you write that in the history of human beings, that's the end. Many of us are too afraid of making mistakes. That when we make them, we're too afraid of sin. That when we commit them, we're too afraid of making an error. When we commit them, we live in that consciousness of failure for the rest of our days. And there's nothing worse. Pray you know very well, Luke chapter 15, and then we'll bring it home. Amen. Luke 15. You know the story. There was this young man. The man had two sons. And let me say this clearly. He wasn't talking about God and you. Jesus expressly said the man had two sons. And that story was not God and you. Because as you're going to see, the son said to the father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. That definitely is not talking to you. But Jesus was giving you a parable. In a parable, it's a fiction that has a story that you must learn from. Now we want to learn from this story this morning. Okay, follow me now. He says, a man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. He divided them unto them his living. Not many days after. I'm reading Luke 15, I'm reading verse 13. Not many days after. son got together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance righteous living. The problem was not that he got from his father what the father gave him. It was that he left the fellowship of his father. He left the covering of his father. He left the protection, the guidance, the counseling. Just like that, it happens to us. We walk away from God. We slip into what we want to do. We have our own thoughts, our plans, our devices, just like Abraham, just like Moses, just like Job, just like David, just like Solomon. Hallelujah. Just like Peter. He walked away. And he walked away far from the Father. And he went on. He spent all. Because that's what's going to happen. What the enemy does, first of all, is to separate, then destroys. He went on. Spent all. There rose a mighty famine in the land. That land, when we finish reading the story, you affected the Father. Now he said, and he would fain. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him to his fields to feed swine. What a state. What a state. A former president of a fellowship who had been used of God on the campus now becomes somebody going for deliverance. So as someone following me this morning, what a state. This mightily used of God sister is now married to a Muslim. What a state. This guy who was the example in church, who everybody looked at you, everybody liked you, everybody believed in you, you now became someone that, you know, people hardly can see that you are even a Christian. He joined himself to sin of that country who sent him to his fields to feed swine. Nothing can be dirtier. That means he was living among pigs. Oh, wow. He was living among pigs. Things went so bad. He would gladly have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat and no man gave unto him. What a sad story. He began to eat things that pigs, I mean, I've seen pigs before in their glory. Pigs in their glory are pigs. In government college, we had folks who used to call piggy. And when they call you piggy, you are a pig. That means you smell, you stink, hush, go. Do you understand? Now, the guy was living among pigs. He was not just living, struggling with the pigs to eat what they were eating, to drink what they were drinking. He was no more the praying Christian that he used to be. He was no more the fellow who enjoyed his liberty in Christ Jesus. Now he's subject to different kinds of preaching and teaching that are just out to hit him. In the heart, him helpless. Father is a rich man. Father is wealthy. All things that pertain to life and godliness belongs to him. He is still blessed because his father is blessed. He is still the son of his father. He still has right standing with his father. He still has rights and privileges with his father. But he is living with pigs. But Pastor, I mean, this fellow has the grace of God to live above sin, but you caught him doing the wrong things in the club. I know this, what I'm saying this morning is not so acceptable in the church because we look at the kind of, oh, he has left the faith, he's going to hell, and all sorts of that. He's found in the clubs. You found him with strong drink. You see him with carousing strange girls. And we give up on people like that because most of the time they are giving up on themselves too. He's feeding with pigs. He didn't just lose, listen, he didn't just lose what he had, he lost who he was. And many people like that, they've lost their identity. Their boldness is gone. They were bold before. They could do a new business. They could get into a relationship. But somehow along the line, she planned a good relationship. She wanted to keep herself to marriage before marriage. She wanted to do all the stuff. But somehow along the line, she broke her virginity. She was no longer what she was before. The guy that broke her virginity now left her and married someone else. And then she's distraught. She now tries to mend things together. She was used of God, but she made this mistake, made this error, got involved with the wrong person. Now, she gets into another man's hand, and that will use her again, and before you know it, she gives up on herself, and then she's among pigs. She's feeding what they are feeding on. What a story. The lesson here is lost by many Christians. Hate a man can get to. Let me see your hand if you agree with me this morning. This is worse. But watch what happened. Verse 17. I love this. Can we read the opening statement together? 1, 2, go. Verse 17, Luke 15. 1, 2, go. That's what I'm here to do this morning. I want you to come to yourself. When he came to himself, he was among pigs, yet he was not supposed to feed among pigs. That means somewhere along the line, destiny called him. Somewhere along the line, the life of God in him called out. Somewhere along the line, the righteousness of God in him called out. But most of the time, as we're going to see, the people around us don't help this process. He came to himself. That means a man can come to himself in the clubhouse. Are you in the house? A man can come to himself, even though he's turned to a prostitute, a lady now. A man can come to himself, a lady can come to herself, even though she's now married to a Muslim. He came to himself. I'm here this morning, that's why I say I don't know the subject I'm preaching this morning, but I'm here this morning to call you to yourself. If you're born again here, you know you're the righteousness of God. You know Christ is in you. Can you shout hallelujah with me this morning? Hallelujah. If you believe that you are what you are by the grace of God, can you shout hallelujah with me this morning? Hallelujah. If you believe that God gave Jesus, if you were the only one on earth, if you were the only one produced by Adam, if you were the only sinner on earth, if you believe that God would still have sent Jesus, shout hallelujah with me this morning. Hallelujah. If you believe that Jesus hung on that cross, went down the grave. He was crucified by men. Men that he created hung on the cross. He was crucified by men, buried among thieves, buried among the rich. He was raised from the dead, and today he is still a man for your sake. And that was for you. Shout hallelujah, be believer. Now this man came to himself. But most of the time when you're in church, they don't teach you that self. They teach you that you're among pigs. They tell you your state, but they never tell you your status. I may be among mess right now, but I'm not a mess man. I may have been brought low by the things I did wrong, but I know I'm still seated in Christ Jesus. I may have lost things by my mistakes, by my error, but I know something. I know something. Christ is still in me, the hope of glory. I may have walked away from God, but one thing I know, He never walks away from me. Because He has said, Hebrews 13 and 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He came to Himself. When He came to Himself, He said, how many points of communication to your life, to your destiny, is your words? He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? I perish with hunger. If we were to come to modern day church, when he came to, he called him Father. I call God Father. Oh, come on, you didn't believe me this morning. I call God Father. Whatever situation I find myself, I call God Father. He called him Father. Who is a father? The word father in the Greek and Hebrew is Abba, your source, your sustainer. He's still my source. He's still my sustainer. And watch this now. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now somebody say to him, put somebody there and say, that's not your decision. You don't decide he's no longer your father. He's the one that decides he's no longer your father. And that's impossible. It's not your choice. Because you never arrange your birth. I didn't arrange my salvation. I don't keep it. Someone watching me this morning. No one to call thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That's what we say when we're full of condemnation. We say, well, I don't think God can use me anymore. I know I've done those things before. Many times which we used to do when we're younger, we feel bad. Oh man, that was my ex. I can't be like that anymore. I've lost it. I've lost it. It is gone. I remember the mother of Amy Semple McPherson was purported to have said that she wanted to be used of God. She's not old. She's not giving birth to a child. Said, God, I know you can't use me. Blah, 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 blah. Use my daughter. Ask Moses. 40 years he was out of God's counsel. 40 years he walked away. God came to and still going to use you. So age does not change my status. I am what he says I am. He arose and came to his father. And many times we come to ourselves and along the line, when we tell people what we want, you know what I think happened here? If you had told a brother in the church, they'll have discouraged him. If you had discussed it with a friend, I'm going to my father after 20 years, after 15 years out of the ministry, after 6 years out of God's will, after 5 years without a prayer life. You think this is that easy like that? Look at me. I've been on this thing yet. My church is not growing. You now say you. If you had given someone a simple gist, if you had told a pastor on the streets, you'll have told him, don't bother. Now that you have chosen to repent, don't bother. Come and stay with me. You won't feed with swine. Don't worry, I'll make it goats. Goats are clean. Follow me now. He arose and came to his father when he was a great way off. This is the lesson here. He was a great way off. That it was far from the Father. He had not come. He was just moving close. And the Father saw him. I don't think he was a gate man. I don't think that Father was a security post. I don't think that he was so rich that all he was doing all his days was to stay at the gate. You know what I think? It was always on his mind. It was always on his mind. Saw him from afar and had compassion. And like every father in God, he ran. Hallelujah. He was already dirty. He wasn't wearing designer clothes anymore. He didn't have a Bible. He had no CDs on him. He had not said anything to his father. Are you following what I'm saying here? He didn't come with a good car. He was coming dirty. From the pig swine, you know how you look like? I guess the shirt would have been turned upside down. Battered trousers. I don't think he would have been with shoes. But the father saw his son because he was on his mind. And he ran. Chris and Lewis composed a song years back, "The Day I Saw God Run." And he ran to his son. And then he grabbed him. Fell on his neck. My. Oh. Oh. He fell on his neck. And then he kissed him. Now, you have seen many times, holy kiss in scripture, I've taught you many times. A kiss to the Jew, to those, is honor, acceptance, welcome. He said simple. That was why the next statement of the son made no difference, because God accepting you and I has nothing to do with you. He kissed him, he hugged him. You are accepted, son. Always accepted. The son went on ranting like we normally do. And he said, I won't do it again. I know it's, Lord, we go before God and say, God, I've sinned against you. Your doctrinal persuasions, you know, see, confession of sins is an anti-grace concept. Receiving forgiveness is a voice of faith in what God has done for you. As he began to speak, I've done this wrong. You told me this. I did the wrong thing. The father had already kissed him before he said that. Is someone learning something this morning? He had hugged him already. He had welcomed him. And most of the time, that mercy is so strong, we feel it's not true. That grace is so mighty. I think I'm saying something to someone this morning. Is someone hearing me this morning? And then he grabbed him. And the father said to his servants, bring forth one of the robes. Huh? You know, he said, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Bring either the fatted calf. Kill it. Let us eat and be merry. This my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to marry. God gave to that fornicator the largest church in the world. Strange. God blessed the man that worshipped idols, and he gave him the biggest company in the world. The fattest calf, the best robe, ring, royalty, dominion, merriment, enjoyment for the guy that missed it, for the guy that disobeyed. This is a strange story. It doesn't apply. 6 years, whether it will change, they can put him back to his former state. No. And he said, let's celebrate. He's here now. Hallelujah. You know why we cannot understand this? Do you know why? This is strange to every ear and every mind, because only God is Father. You cannot act God. You cannot act. Tell your neighbor, say, you cannot act God. You can't comprehend how he thinks about me. Tell your neighbor, say, you cannot comprehend how he thinks about me. There's no way you can comprehend, because you are not the Father. So it wasn't strange when it was through, and then the eldest son, who had always been in the ministry for 10 years, the eldest son who was in the faith, who was struggling, and he tried to keep his life holy, and didn't do anything wrong, quote and unquote, heard about it, and he didn't go home. He left that ministry. I don't believe in that kind of ministry. I don't believe in that kind of God. My God is a God of justice. I don't believe in all this God kind of law. He was already angry, because he wasn't the Father. Strong bond. He wasn't the Father. So don't blame the elder son. Don't blame that fellow in your church. Don't blame that friend of yours. That's why it's only one Father that we have. We see God approached this guy in this parable. He hugged him. And the elder son was angry, just like many of us. And I would be like that. But in the papers, he had missed it. He's now massively used of God. If you were Nathan, wouldn't you be angry? If we were Agar, wouldn't you be crazy? Abraham is still called of the Most High God today. He's still the father of faith. Wouldn't you get crazy? In fact, if you were Uriah, you'd be worse off in your mind. Sorry, Uriah. Sorry, Queen of Sheba. I'm so sorry. But you are not the Father. The Father says, welcome. The Father says, you're accepted. The Father still gives the fatted cow. He still gives the best robe. He still puts on this fellow's the ring. He still hugs. He still runs. He still has compassion. Is someone in the house this morning? Now watch this. As God's show of love is going on, I can hear the voice of men in your church, in your company, in your neighborhood. John 8, run there with me. Are you sure you're following this? John 8. A woman had just committed adultery. She was caught in the act in verse 3. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act. It was not a rumor. It was not a gist. It wasn't in the newspapers. And we were trying to verify. She was caught in the act. They had the pictures. They had the story. It was recorded. And, I mean, nothing can be scary. You know, sometimes as Christians, we hear, Brother Scott did so. How do you know? The guy says, it was on the 14th of, Fikemi was there. And they say, hey, well, he's trying to be a Christian, he's trying to be an unbeliever. I said, well, she's even around. She has got the tapes. What? Listen to me, you might say, should I read it? Should I listen? Yeah, it will. Let's see whether it was true. Curious people. Caught in the act. And they brought it to Jesus and, Master, what do we do? Jesus looked up. Mercy said, verse 7, He that is without sin among you, let him die for our sins. You cannot sit over as a judge over a matter you are guilty of. That's hypocrisy. As he said that, the Bible says from the least to the greatest, all the accusers dropped the accusation, they threw out the tapes, they were angry. Because when truth stares at your face that we are all products of God's grace, your boasting will cease. Everybody dropped their stones, they dropped their teachings, they dropped their CDs, they dropped their report, they dropped their G's, and they were angry. They didn't believe Jesus, but they were just angry. And I don't care what men have to say about you this morning. I'm here as a voice of Jesus. And I'm saying to you, you are what he says you are. And hear this now. And Jesus turned to the woman. When mercy calls, accusation disappears. All the accusers left. You know why we're still in the midst of accusation? Because we have resisted his grace. We have resisted his mercy. When grace spoke, accusation disappeared. The Bible says, the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12, that accuses them before the Father daily, but they overcame him. By what? By the blood of the Lamb. That's forgiveness, church. And by the word of their testimony. I know every day of my life I walk open and I resorted to see this. They walked away. You know why you are still thinking the way you are thinking about yourself? Because you are still allowing the thoughts of the accuser to dominate you. Satan is defeated. The blood of Jesus is the answer. Follow this now. The Bible says, he literally said none, but he said, so none, but the woman. Hypocrisy. In other words, everyone that was accusing her were equally needing grace. Everyone. It was just that they caught her. Everyone needed grace. Everyone needed forgiveness. And Shalom said to her, a woman, where are those that accuse us? Jesus is very funny. You know, he didn't say, where are you? He said, where are those? That's the language. Where are those you accuse us? Have no man condemned you? They had condemned her before he spoke. But when he spoke, he said, have no man condemned you? Because no man can. Brother, no man should. Sister, no man can. There's only one who can condemn. Romans 8 and 33. And he has chosen to justify. Is someone in the house this morning? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Wow. I thought it would say, well, next 6 months, wear sackcloth and ashes. He said, go. And sin no more. Humanity will keep accusing. Tell you, very few people will stay with you during failure. How many people want to associate with the guy who lost his ministry, whose church was closed? How many guys want to associate with you after you sold your car? Or you lost your job? The friends will grow fewer and fewer and fewer. If you're not careful, you'll be amongst swine. You feed amongst them. How many guys? Then people begin to say things like, I knew it was going to happen to him. You know, I was looking at him. I was wondering. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that before? I always knew. I always knew it was going to happen to you. I was just looking at you. You know, at a young age of yours, you had already bought a brand new car. At your young age, you had been traveling out of the country. Can you imagine at that age? We all knew that something fishy was going on with you. Things were just moving fast for you. Yet he stand there, accusing. You and I are subject and vulnerable to listen to those things and you wonder, it's true. It's true. It's true. And the worst thing you can do to yourself, church, let me tell you, is to look for a pity party, which is worse. Those who don't want your greatness, they just celebrate your fall in disguise. Humanity will come after you when you make mistakes. You have no choice. It's going to happen. But let me say this and say it clear to you. Micah 7. Come on. Micah 7 says to you, come on. Micah chapter 7, just after Jonah, verse 19. And I want someone to read this in. If you are alive to what I'm saying this morning, say amen. Amen. So read verse 18 with me. One, two, go. Who is a God like unto you? So settle that. No one will do this for you. Don't expect your pastor to play God. Don't expect your friend to play God. So if your pastor at that point in time does not do the right thing, then don't expect him to play God. Don't expect your husband to play God. Because sometimes we are human. And that's the truth. Watch this now. Who is like, let's read together, I want to go. Who is a God like unto you that does what? Uh-huh. Do you like that? Look at verse 19. Come on. Together. Into the depths of the sea. Corinthian Boom says, God has cast your sins into the sea. Don't fish for them. Many times we go fishing for them. Maybe it's because I did this. Maybe God is like, maybe fishing for them. Good news. Peter is still a fisher of men. Job was restored how many fold? Threefold. He had more than he lost. David, Jesus is still called the one sitting, his own in the house. Solomon is still a prophet who wrote the book of Proverbs and did not speak of his own private interpretation, but he was moved by the Spirit of God. 2 Peter 1 and 21. Samson today is in Zion. Hebrews 11 and verse 40. Hebrews 12 verse 1. It was mentioned in Hebrews 11. Moses, no doubt, appeared on Mount of Transfiguration. Moses today is in the church. Accepted in the beloved. In spite of his failures. Peter is still a fisher of men. God never changed what he said. Two things I'm going to tell you as we close. Number one. I hope you hear this. Is someone hearing me this morning? Number one.
Forgive yourself.
You know, we forgive others and we don't forgive ourselves. Jesus said, love your neighbors. He never said, hate yourself. Love yourself. Forgive yourself.
Well, I ought to have known. I shouldn't have done that.
Welcome to the club. Abraham too. Job too. Moses.
The pastor warned me,
yet I did it. Welcome to the club. God warned Abraham, not your pastor. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Learn to forgive yourself. I'll add number two, but this is just for others. Forgive others too. Learn to forgive others. They disappointed you, just like you have done to others. You fell short of the expectation, just like you will do too. I wrote something here. I said, forgiveness is a proof that you can begin again. You can do it again. Because forgiveness means you'll start on a clean slate. Forgive yourself. You have made an error of judgment in your business, forgive yourself. God's word never changes. Never does. Forgive yourself. Stop walking around thinking the world has come to an end. Stop believing that, well, you lost it once and for all. No way. God is a God of a second chance. 2 Timothy 2 says he will not deny himself. Verse 13. God is a God of a second chance. And how many times does he give this chance? You know, somebody said this one day, and I laughed. Said, God said to someone, I warned you the first time, you mean the second time, said, the next time, I'm sorry. And I said, that's a proof he never met Jesus. Luke 17, Jesus said, how many times do you forgive? And then he said to them, seven times in a day. Seven times in a day, turn again to forgive. That is, the number of times you miss it is a number of times you have another chance. I have another chance. I have another opportunity. Forgiveness makes a future possible. Let's learn from God's forgiveness to see our dreams come alive again. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your ministry. When Jesus rose from the dead, the angel in Matthew, in John 21, said to Mary, he said, go and tell your brethren and Peter. You know why? Because Peter did something the whole world, and he said, but tell Peter. Let him know. Let him know. I'm here to tell you. To let you know, he's not giving up on you. Don't give up on yourself. Come to yourself. You can dream again. You can take it on again. Your ministry is not lost. David still had Bathsheba. Is it not interesting? The Bathsheba that caused him to sin now became the mother of Solomon, who was not the firstborn, but became king by the will of God.